Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, looking at biblical evangelism. How would the Lord have us to try to reach others? We want to do it a biblical way. In John 6 and verse 15. John 6:15. And Brother Titus, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 15. John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. At this point, this is continuing on from this morning, the message this morning. At this point, Jesus sends his disciples on. He's miraculously fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 12 baskets full of food left over. We saw that this morning. But as he sends them out, they run into a storm. Let's pick up in verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy of the Old Testament, what happened here. If you hold your place here, if you would, and turn me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 23. Psalm 107, 23, and we'll read down through 31. But let's start in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. You can just picture in your mind these huge rolling waves. Mount up to heaven, down in the depths, a huge trough in the waves. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. You just picture someone trying to walk on the deck of a ship doing this and staggering around, trying to keep their balance and not be thrown overboard and just wondering if the next wave is going to take them down. Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he what? Bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm what? A calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto what? Their desired haven. The ship was at the land. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So in John chapter 6 here, a prophecy from Psalm 107 taking place. So now we pick up back in John 6 and verse 22. So Jesus sent the disciples ahead. They run into the storm. He miraculously spares them and they're immediately at the shore. But what about all the people that were back? The people that he fed, the 5,000 that he fed, are still back on the previous shore. So now we pick up there in John 6 and verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. So they're kind of scratching their heads. When the disciples took off, that was the only boat available. And they knew Jesus wasn't on it, so they couldn't quite figure that out. But anyway, other boats come to and fro, and so they took shipping and headed over the sea toward Capernaum there. And that, when they found him, we pick up in verse 26. Verse 25, actually, I should read there. It says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? They're still scratching their heads. How did you get over here? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because what? Ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So we're looking at this, okay, what is biblical evangelism? How do we try to reach the lost? What do we do? Well, we saw this morning that Jesus fed those 5,000. It was the Passover was drawing nigh, and they weren't scurrying around doing everything to do with the Passover. They were focused on Jesus, and he is the fulfillment of the Passover. Remember, we talked this morning that the Passover, they put the blood on the side posts in the upper part of the door there. And they were spared then from the death angel passing through on the Passover. But these 5,000 were centered on what the Passover was picturing. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who gave his blood, his life for the sin of the world. And so he fed them. They didn't ask for food. He fed them, miraculously fed them. But now they're coming over to him, and he stops them and says, you're not seeking me because of the miracles, the mighty miracles he was doing of healing. They were seeking him because he fed them. And so he stops them there. So we're finding here of the biblical principle of we don't try and attract people to God's house through giving them things. And in this instance, food. So what we would not do to try to get a crowd to give the gospel to them, we would not put on a meal and say, inviting the lost, come, we're having a meal to put on and then squeeze in the gospel. That's exactly what Jesus, he stopped him when he realized you're coming for the food. The problem is when we give away things, then we're getting into a situation where we don't know why they're coming in. Years ago, well, it was 1976. The preacher was Jack Van Impe. He was an evangelist. And so he came to Grand Rapids for a week of meetings. And then a little later on, well, actually, I think it was that crusade. So he had these big family Bibles. It's a big blue Bible, and it's like, I think it's called the Liberty Edition. And so he was trying to raise money, so he said, I have these Bibles to give to you tonight. If you will commit to sending me $10 a month, you can have this beautiful Bible tonight. And it had pictures of all the presidents up to that point. So you know what I did? I wanted that Bible. And so I committed to giving $10 a month for a year. And the reason I did it was for what I got. I mean, he was a powerful evangelist back in that day. As his ministry went on, it changed. But I had no problems with his ministry at that point. But the problem is that I was giving money for a thing, a Bible. You may say, well, that's spiritual. The problem was, though, he was trying to raise money, but it was through giveaways. And well, actually, it wasn't a giveaway. It was if you will pay $120 over the course of a year, he could have this Bible. And that's the problem, is discerning someone's intentions. You know, you can hold a big meal, and maybe you will get some unsaved people in, and maybe they will hear the gospel. The point is we're trying to see biblical evangelism. And in this case, Jesus stops them. Verse 26. When he perceives they are there for the free food, he says, wait a minute. Verse 26. Jesus answers them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did what? Eat of the loaves and were filled. So, it's a very common practice now, but we want to do what Jesus taught. We're looking for biblical evangelism. And once you start giving away things, you no longer know why they're there. Is it to hear the Word of God, or is it for the things which you're giving away or even selling? Why are they there? Notice then in verse 28. Well, let's read 27 first here. Again, it says, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And so they're just focused on signs and wonders. So verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye what? Believe on him whom he hath sent. This passage reminds me so much of Matthew chapter 7. Let's go, hold your place here if you would. Matthew 7. So they wanted to see signs and wonders, and they wanted to work signs and wonders. And he says the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. As I've often said, these are the three emphases of the charismatic movement. Prophesying in Jesus' name, casting out devils in Jesus' name, doing wonderful works in Jesus' name. But verse 23, and then, this is Jesus talking, and then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity. You see, they thought that was the proof of their salvation. They're looking at it like, I'm doing all this for you, Lord. How can you send me to hell? I've done all this for you. I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I've done many wonderful works in your name. The problem is, we don't get to heaven by what we do for God, do we? We get to heaven by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He died for our sins on the cross. That was the error there. And so as you go back to John chapter 6, I see that same error in these people. Verse 28, once again, John 6, 28. They said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They're doing the same mistake as those in John 7. Or Matthew 7, excuse me. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." Now, isn't it amazing how fast people can suddenly, you know, if you're talking about Scripture, suddenly pick up on Scripture and twist it for their own selfishness. Notice the amazing thing that these people do. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Now, before we read the next verse, let's go back to verses 13 and 14. This is when it sinks into the people, these same people, what just happened. Jesus had just taken verse 9, the five loaves and the two fishes. He had taken those loaves, verse 11, given thanks and distributed to them. Verse 12, they were filled. And then verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the what? The miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth," who? "That prophet that should come into the world." And then we read verse 15, when Jesus perceived they had come and taken by force, that's when he departed into the mountain. So, verse 14, those people recognized the miracle that had taken place. But back now to verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what does it say? Sign. What sign showest thou then that we may see and what? Believe thee. What dost thou work? What do you mean, what dost thou work? You just acknowledge he fed 5,000 from five barley loaves and two fishes. They acknowledge this has got to be the prophet that's come into the world. But now, the very next day, they're saying, what sign will you show us? What dost thou work? And notice, they just happen to have an idea. I got a good idea how you could prove that you're the Messiah. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat what? Manna in the desert, as it is written. They're really spiritual now. I mean, they're going to quote it, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Amazing. It's amazing how we can justify our own selfishness, even from Scripture, when we want to. Amazing, isn't it? That's exactly what they did. But notice what Jesus said, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." It's amazing how they twist this situation around for their own selfishness. When I think of this exchange here, I think of what we already looked at in chapter 4. Let's go back there for a moment in John 4, verse 12. You know what? These people are doing the same thing. Jesus is with, in John chapter 4, Jesus uses water to speak to this woman. In John 4, and let's pick up in verse 12, John 4, 12. And we'll read through 15. Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She was still focused on the physical water. And she is saying, wow, this would be great if I never had to come to the well again. I mean, if your power was off, you probably do appreciate now that you can turn the faucet on and actually get water. But last week, you might not have seen anything. You go turn it on. You don't even think about it. So she's focused on physical water. And she says, give it to me. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. If you'd hold that place here and then turn back to John chapter 6. And once again, in verse 33, John 6:33, the Lord is speaking. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore what? Give us this bread. And compare back with the woman. Chapter 4, verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. So they're saying, give me this bread. But they're thinking about, like Moses in the wilderness, give me this bread. Give me free food. She's saying, give me everlasting water so I never thirst again. And they're saying, give me the bread. Evermore, give us this bread. So, notice we're in chapter 6 here still. So what does he say to that? Verse 35, John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and what? Believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Notice the difference between these people and the woman at the well. Remember, these people have been fed a miraculous meal. Once again, let's go back to chapter 4, John 4, and this time to verse 25. John 4:25. So there's been this exchange back and forth. And then in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And what did Jesus say to that? Verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am who? He. So he's saying, ma'am, I'm he. I'm the Messiah. But notice in chapter 6, the opposite conclusion in John 6:41. And actually, we need to back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 38, John 6:38. So with the woman, this exchange is going back and forth about the living water. And now with these men, the exchange is going back and forth about bread from heaven. With the water, Jesus tells the woman that he is the living water. With these men, Jesus points out that he is the bread from heaven. Verse 38, John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41. The Jews then, we're talking about the same crowd, the 5,000. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of who? Joseph. Is there a problem there? Yeah, you're already seeing the problem. They're not saying, is this Jesus, the son of Mary, which would allow for the virgin birth. They're saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so they are rejecting him. Whereas if you go back to chapter 4, remember verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Well, he who? Verse 25, the Messiah. She said, I know that Messiah cometh. Jesus says in verse 26, I am he. So she puts her water pot down, as we saw last week. And now she goes to the city. In verse 28, John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this who? The Christ. The woman, Jesus said to the woman, I'm the Messiah. And she doesn't murmur about it. She goes back to town and says, is not this the Christ? She accepts it. She believes that he is the Messiah. But if you go back to chapter 6, these people did not. The 5,000 did not. They murmur, verse 41, John 6:41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they're looking at it, verse 42. This can't be. This is Joseph's son. We know his dad and his mom, and we know his brothers and sisters. We know all about him. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So then he gets down into verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am what? The living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall what? Live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now they're going to take, he's talking about eating his flesh. He's talking about giving his flesh, just giving his body on the cross for our sins. That's what he's talking about. But the conversation continues down here. But verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and what? Walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto who? The 12. Will you also go away? So we're talking about a multitude of 5,000 people, and now we're talking about Jesus looking at the 12 and saying, are you also going to leave? I mean, it was so bad, he had to look at the 12 and said, are you going to leave too? Well, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of what? Eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we want to just compare for just a few moments now this They're trying to trick Jesus because of their own selfishness, free food. They're trying to trick Jesus, and of course, you can't trick Jesus. But let's compare the manna in the wilderness to what Jesus did for these. Now, notice in John 6, 9, notice the meal from Jesus, that the bread was in loaves, John 6, 9. The Bible says there is a lad here which hath five, what? Barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? So, by the very use of the word loaf, you're talking about something baked. Now, Jesus didn't bake these loaves. The lad, verse 9, had them with him. The lad had five barley loaves, baked bread. You don't call it loaves when it's unbaked. What do you call it? Well, you call it dough. Hold your place here if you turn to me to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. There's quite a difference between God feeding Israel by the manna and Jesus giving them this meal. In Exodus 12:39, the Bible says, and they baked unleavened cakes of what? The dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. Sometimes it's also called a lump. Before it's baked, it's called a lump. Notice in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth what? The whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a what? New lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So, unbaked bread is called dough, or a lump of dough. They'll say, okay, so in John chapter 6 and verse 9, we're talking about fully baked loaves of bread. But what about with in the Old Testament, the manna? Well, look in Exodus 16. With the manna, they had to go gather it themselves, but it wasn't loaves of bread. Exodus 16 and verse 14. Exodus 16:14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a what? Small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is what? Manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is what? The bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, it was not loaves of bread. It was grains of this manna. And it was not even ground. They had to grind it themselves. Notice in Numbers 11, verse 7. Numbers 11 and verse 7. So, you know, they're trying to use Moses and the manna to say to Jesus, well, hey, God fed his people for 40 years. He fed them bread in the wilderness. There's more than a slight difference here. Numbers 11:7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and what? Ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. So, quite a difference. With Jesus, we're talking about loaves of bread already cooked. With the manna, this was like the grain. They had to go gather it. The people themselves had to gather it. They had to grind it into flour. And then they had to bake it. Okay. So we're trying to compare these two here. So if you go back to John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So when Jesus fed them, we're talking about the loaves were already baked. We're talking about Jesus said, okay, make the men sit down. But what did they have to do when they were fed bread from heaven for 40 years? Each morning, did they just sit? No. They had to go gather it. And they had to gather it before the sun got too warm. Notice in Exodus 16:21. Quite a difference here. Exodus 16:21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it what? It melted. So they had to get out there and gather it themselves, the people. Each day, except on the sixth day, they would be given twice the amount. And with the manna, they had to clean up their mess too. Notice in Exodus 16 and verse 20, Exodus 16:20. Let's back up to verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. And it what? Bred worms and what? Stank. And Moses was what? Wroth with them. You know, you're in a camp and somebody does not clean up their manna and leaves it there. And the next morning it breeds worms and it stinks. And Moses wasn't too happy. They weren't only affecting themselves, but the whole camp. So they had to do their own cleanup. But look back in John chapter 6. They didn't have to clean up anything here. It was cleaned up for them. In John 6 and verse 12. John 6:12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, what? Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So there's such a difference. In John chapter 6, they're saying to Jesus, well, Moses fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, so feed us. There's such a difference between us. With Jesus, he made them all sit down. They were served by the disciples. When they were done, the disciples went and gathered all the food that was left over and took care of it. They didn't have to do anything. And they were spoiled. They were spoiled. They wanted to live like that. But comparing it to the manna, there was no comparison. God is like dropping the grain from heaven, the manna. The people have to get up and gather all those tiny pieces of manna. They have to make it into flour, grind it into flour. They have to bake it. And any of the manna left over, they have to take care of and get rid of. Or the next morning, it's going to have worms in it and stink. Totally different. Totally different. The difference is this. God fed them for 40 years that way. And they were not lazy. They had to get up before the sun got hot. They had to do it 6 days a week. They could not do it on Monday for the whole week. They had to do it 6 days a week. They could rest the seventh day. They had to clean up their own mess. At the end of 40 years, we had people who were used to getting up early, working, people that were used to cleaning up their own mess, or they had suffered the consequences. But these people in John 6, oh, wow. They try to put Jesus in a corner and say, you know what? You know, basically, you owe us this. You know, show us the sign. Do this for us. Feed us. So Jesus puts a stop to it. And another thing also, In John chapter 6, he gives them, it's like all you can eat. Verse 11, John 6, 11. And Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks, and he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as what? As much as they would. It's like, this is all you can eat. And there's still 12 basketfuls left. But in the wilderness, quite a difference between that meal and the wilderness. They had to gather a certain amount. A certain amount. And if they gathered too much and it was left over and they didn't get rid of it, it would stink. So the manna in the wilderness was not all you can eat, unless you're referring to if you want to go out there and work and pick it up, then. But it wasn't unlimited. You could only eat what you had worked for, what you had gathered, and that was it. So there was a huge difference. You know, missionaries on the field have to be careful. This one, we've been in Haiti visiting Brother Wall. Brother Wall will tell you, he'll say, now, don't give anything to any of the Haitian people unless you talk to me first. He says, if there's someone that you want to give something to, you ask me first. Because he has to live with the results of it. If people come in there and just start giving away things to them, then pretty soon that's what they expect. And you'll make them lazy. And they'll just think, well, Americans are just here to serve us and to feed us. And then what you lose is the people that are really making genuine decisions for Christ. How can you tell the difference? How can you tell if they're people that are just coming for the free things or the people that are really coming for Christ? It's like, Sunday morning, we could have donuts, coffee, egg McMuffins, biscuits and gravy, ham, Cheerios, pancakes, waffles with Coy's famous maple syrup drizzled on them. Okay, so let's do it. How many people would come? I guarantee you, when word got out, people would come. Guaranteed. Okay, but how are we going to discern now? Who's coming just for the food? And who's really coming because they're hungry for Christ? Hungry for spiritual food. This is why Jesus put a stop to it. Yes, they were there for Him the first day. They didn't ask for food. So He gave it to them. He not only gave it to them, but He served it to them. But the next day, it was a different story. Now they came wanting the free meal all the time. They were not there to be spiritually fed. They were there to be physically fed. Jesus stopped them. He stopped them. And that is why I know it's a really common thing now to feed people when they come to church. It's kind of what's happened to the school system, is it not? In the school system, now they feed them breakfast. When I went to school, they had a hot lunch plan, but you had to pay for it. But now they feed them. In fact, in Greenville, I've seen on the sign during the summer, they feed them in the summer too. They feed the children in the summer at the school too. You know, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when we lived down there, I heard the story behind their bus ministry. There was a businessman who had a heart for children. And so he offered some boys, young boys, a free baseball if they would come to Sunday school with him so many Sundays. And I don't remember how many Sundays it was. And so he got some boys, and they did it for the free baseball. So he gave them their baseball. And then he came up with other things. And his car was getting so full of people that the pastor saw it. And he said, I'll have the church buy a bus, and you can fill the bus up. And he did, with giveaways. And soon the church had, I don't know, 40 or 50 buses. I don't know. They had a lot of buses. But you know what happened? Every Sunday was a giveaway Sunday. This Sunday was free baseball Sunday if you'll ride the bus. The next Sunday is free kite Sunday. If you'll ride the bus, we'll give you a free kite. The next Sunday was free hot dog Sunday. If you'll ride the buses, we'll give you a free hot dog. I talked to a man locally, and he told me their church had a bus ministry, and he told me, he said, our biggest Sunday always of the year is free pumpkin Sunday. We get more kids to ride the bus on free pumpkin Sunday than the rest of the year. Why is that? For the free pumpkin. But what about for Christ? Why are they coming? You know, people can debate all they want back and forth, and that's up to them. I'm not their judge. But I want to do evangelism what Jesus did. And what he did here was he stopped them. When he realized they were coming the second day for the free stuff. And let me say this. There's nothing wrong with inviting people to church and then of your own free will giving them a meal or food. There's nothing wrong with that because they're not just there for that purpose. You are giving it to them. But it's so hard to discern people's hearts. But in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because why? Ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. May God help us. We want to reach people, but we want them not to be playing games, but we want them from their heart to come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Lord, please give us wisdom. What is a biblical way to get people to your house? What is a biblical way to get the gospel to them? And Lord, please give us discernment, lest we get into a situation where we're feeding their physical selfishness instead of the spiritual need of their hearts. So, Father, we pray for your help and your power to reach the spirit of people, the heart of people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.